So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom coming to you loud and clear. I hope that everyone had a very safe and happy Labor Day. If you are still in school, then I guess you're kind of bummed out about having to go back to school. I'm certainly bummed out about having to deal with all the school buses on the roads now. That gets me down. But anyway, hope everyone is doing well. I am going to start the show out with White History Month for September. Now, I did actually go through these this time and pre-read them, as last time George failed to do that for me and had some double things that I read and things I read incorrectly. So this time, I have done my due diligence and already gone through and pre-screened them, and there were no mistakes. So let us start out with September 3rd in 1861. Confederate troops entered Kentucky, which ended the state's neutral status. On September 4th in 1888, George Eastman registered the trademark Kodak and received a patent for a camera that used roll film, which he named the number one Kodak camera. I guess that was the model number. On September 7th of 1191, the Battle of Arsuf was a battle of the Third Crusade in which Richard I of England defeated the forces of Ayyubid leader Saladin. Now, we didn't win too many of those. There were a few. One of the coats of arms that I have on my mother's side from Germany goes back to the mid-1600s, and they defeated someone over there. I forget who it was, Turks or something like that. I don't know. I think it was Turks that they defeated. But anyway, they were allowed to put their likeness on their family crest, so now that particular family coat of arms has what appears to be three black guys in do-rags on it. Not what it is, it's just simply showing dark-skinned people with a type of headdress that they wore over there at the time. But still interesting, part of my family was involved in the Crusades. Another family from my mother's side donated troops and supplies to the King of Prussia back in the early 1200s and got their coat of arms back then. And the sad thing is, the original coats of arms were carved in wood and then cast in sterling silver. And until the Second World War, or I'm sorry, the First World War, both of the original coats of arms were still in the family. They got seized and melted for the war effort in the First World War, which is an absolute shame. Something that had lasted from the 1600s and even the 1200s and got melted down for the war effort, just a cry and shame. In September 7th, 1707, Georges Louis Leclerc was born, who happened to be a French naturalist, mathematician, cosmologist, and encyclopedic author. He epitomizes the revolutionary changes that the Enlightenment brought to the study of nature. Very interesting, being that I'm a conservation officer, that kind of stuff always interests me. On September 7th, 1829, Friedrich August Kekule von Stradonitz was born. He was a prominent scientist during the second half of the 19th century. He also founded the theory of chemical structure and is famous for deducing the six-membered ring structure of benzene. I have no clue what that means. On September 7, 1996, English cyclist Chris Boardman broke the UCI absolute hour record for the best human effort, riding, this one is both in metric and American, 33.88 miles in 1 hour. September 7th, a lot of September 7ths here. September 7th, 1740, Swedish neoclassical sculptor Johan Tobias Sergel was born in Stockholm. September 7th, 1705, German artist Matthäus Günther was born in Peissenberg. He was an important figure of both the Baroque and Rococo eras. September 8th, 1504, Michelangelo's David was unveiled in Florence. Florence, Italy, George, not Florence, South Carolina. Just be quiet. September 8th, in 1863, the Confederates repulsed an attack at Sabine Pass, also known as Fort Griffin, in Texas. September 9th, 1892, American astronomer Edward Emerson Barnard discovered Amalthea, which is the third moon of Jupiter. It's also known by the name Jupiter 5. September 11th, 1994, American swimmer Tom Dolan set a world record in the 1,312 feet medley in 4 minutes and 12 seconds in Rome. September 15th, 1789, American novelist James Fenimore Cooper was born in Burlington, New Jersey. He was the author of Last of the Mohicans. Interestingly, the movie was filmed here in North Carolina, and the very first movie that I ever did work on, there was an actor who was on there from Last of the Mohicans. He was, in fact, the one, if you remember, where the Indian came up out of the water, spun his head around, and spun all the water off of his hair. It was actually a white guy. He was very annoying. He spent the entire time on set doing stuff for the Untouchables and Sean Connery's voice. It drove everybody absolutely bananas. September 15th, 1948... U.S. Air Force Major Richard L. Johnson set a flight airspeed record of 670.84 miles per hour, piloting an F-86A-3 Sabre. On September 16th, in 1864, Confederate General Wade Hampton's raid at Coggins Point took place in the Great Cattle Road in Virginia. September 17th, 1630, the city of Boston was founded by Puritan colonists from England. On September 17, 1789, British astronomer William Herschel discovered Mimas, which is one of Saturn's moons. September 17, 1862, Munfordville, Kentucky surrendered to Confederate forces. Good for us. September 17, 1929, Ernest Hemingway's novel A Farewell to Arms was first published in book form. I am not familiar with that particular one, but knowing his style, whoever the hero was, I'm sure he died at the end. September 20th, 1861, the Union garrison surrendered Lexington, Missouri. On September 21st, in 1886, Charles Jules Henri Nicole was born. Charles was a French bacteriologist who received the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his identification of lice as the transmitter of epidemic typhus. Very interesting. September 21st, 1937, the first edition of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit was published by George Allen and Unwin Limited of London. On September 22nd, in 1869, German composer Richard Wagner premiered his opera Das Rheingold at the National Theater in Munich. Every time I see Munich as an adult, I remember back the early 1970s when everybody was collecting beer cans. For those of you who are old enough to remember that, anybody else remember Munich beer? That just pops into my mind. Every time I see Munich, I think of Munich beer. Haven't seen it in almost 45 years. Yeah, it makes me feel old. September 23rd, 480 BC, ancient Greek playwright Euripides was born. He wrote 95 tragedies, of which 19 have survived in their complete form. September 23rd, 63 BC, Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus was born in Rome. He was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. September 25th, 1513, Spanish conquistador Vasco Núñez de Balboa crossed the Isthmus of Panama, the first European expedition to the Pacific Ocean. Was he what? No, George, he was not Rocky's brother. Just be quiet, would you? September 27, 1825, the Stockton and Darlington Railway in England officially opened. At 26 miles long, it was the longest railway at the time. 1825, wow. September 27, 1908, the first production of the Ford Model T left the factory at the Paquette plant in Detroit, Michigan. The Model T was the first automobile mass-produced on assembly lines with completely interchangeable parts. Folks, if you have ever been in the Detroit area and seen where these plants used to be, it is amazing. When you get south into the west of Detroit, out towards the airport, there are, and I think I've discussed this on the show before here, there are huge areas that you can tell used to be neighborhoods. There are roads and grids through the woods. They've been abandoned, everything's grown back up, and there's a huge slab, a concrete slab, alongside the road. It's got to be almost a mile long. That's a remnant of, I believe it was, the Ford plant. The reason the concrete slab is still there is because the ground is contaminated. If they dig up the concrete, down here we call it cement, but everyone else calls it concrete. If they dig it up, then they have to dig all the contaminated soil out and fill it back in, costing probably hundreds of millions of dollars. As long as they leave the slab intact, they can just let it revert back to nature. On September 26th, yeah, just something else you didn't need to know. On September 26th, on September 27th, 1938, the RMS Queen Elizabeth was launched and christened in Glasgow. At the time, she was the largest passenger liner ever built. Wow, bigger than the Titanic. My mother, when she was a little girl, I don't remember if it was to Germany or from Germany, was on, it was either the Queen Elizabeth or the Queen Mary, and she said that the ship was just incredibly huge. On September 28, 1852, Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo, landed in what is now San Diego Bay and named it San Miguel. George, help me out here. On behalf of Spain, Cabrillo was the first explorer to navigate the coast of present-day California in the United States. Well, that explains. There's a lighthouse down on the end of Point Loma called Cabrillo Lighthouse. I never knew where the name came from. I now do. September 28, 1951, American astronomer Seth Barnes Nicholson discovered Inachi, a retrograde irregular satellite of Jupiter. Wow, a lot of moons around gas giants were discovered in September. Now, a retrograde irregular satellite means that it is not a moon. It is most likely an asteroid, and retrograde means that it is in a decaying orbit. It will eventually crash into the planet of Jupiter. On September 29th, 1547, Miguel de Cervantes was born in Alcalá de Henares. I have no idea where that is. He was the author of Don Quixote, which is the first modern novel. And finally, on September 29th in 1885, the Blackpool Tramway, which was the first practical public electric tramway in the world, was opened in Blackpool, England. Very interesting stuff. I've got a friend who is a retired constable from Blackpool. That's kind of interesting. It's kind of an out-of-the-way place, so it makes kind of no sense to me why they would have opened it there. But anyway, that concludes our White History Month for September. Some interesting stuff in there. Thank you, Mike from New York, for sending that down to me. Those are always a nice addition to have every month because most people have no clue about history at all, let alone white history. So thanks again, Mike, for sending those down. I really appreciate that. And I didn't do too bad. I'm not really a good oral reader, so I probably wouldn't do too well on a teleprompter, so I guess I'd better never apply for news anchor or anything like that, but I at least know my limitations. Speaking of limitations, the Manchurian candidate, otherwise known as John McCain, we know passed away last week. McCain. No, he was not in Die Hard, George. That was John McClane. I told you before, just be quiet. Anyway, Mr. Flip-Flop finally left the Earth. We know this man was not a hero. He may have served in the war, but he was not a war hero. Not only did he get shot down, but rumors abound that he was the one that was screwing around on the flight deck that set off the bombs that killed many, many naval personnel. Now, I'm just saying it was rumored. I'm not going to make that as a statement because I do not know. I just do know that many people have said that that was actually he who did that, in which case he was obviously not a hero. Additionally, he did more things to ruin this country than many other people out there, especially on our side. The man was not a Republican. He was a liberal Democrat. And his voting record showed it. And Mr. Smart Aleck always coming out with his famous thumbs down to make sure that Donald Trump's legislation didn't pass. Well, in my opinion, the guy finally got what was coming to him. Now, you may disagree with me on that. You may think that's harsh, but that is my personal opinion. And since this is my show, I can share my personal opinion. Unlike the Democrats would want me to not be able to share my personal opinion if they had their way. Which is, again, why Donald Trump is in office. One of these days, they will learn that. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not one to revel in someone's demise. Unless, of course, their last name is Clinton or Obama. But John McCain will not be missed. And hopefully, the state of Arizona will put someone into office who will actually do the job that he was elected to do. Many people really think that he was the Manchurian candidate. And that had he been elected to the office of president, that those who had kept him in captivity during the war would have brought his altered self back out. Very, very dangerous man. On that note, folks, it is time for me to take a quick break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes, so don't go anywhere. When I come back, I want to share with you that story about the Uber driver in Florida who used Florida Stand Your Ground law to protect himself from an allegedly armed attacker. Be right back.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio.
Thank you.
got to tell you, folks, that man is one amazing guitarist. Listening to that riff, it never, ever ceases to amaze me. So let's get into this story about the Uber driver in Florida who shot and killed a guy who had chased him in a truck. Now, the driver apparently called 911 and he tried to help the guy as he was dying, who had threatened to kill him. And this is shown on dash cam video, which you can find on the internet. But the story goes like this. A Florida Uber driver shot and killed a man who was chasing his car with a pickup truck and threatened him. Jason, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Boak, who was 34, was fatally shot at around 2:20 a.m. last Tuesday morning after leaving a bar in Dundee, Florida, and then chasing Uber driver Robert Westlake, who's 38, in his pickup truck. Now, this was shared by Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd. And he released this at a news conference last Wednesday. Boak apparently saw his girlfriend and a bartender help another woman into an Uber car and mistakenly thought his girlfriend had gotten into the car, Judd said. Boak became enraged and sent his girlfriend, who was still in the bar, a series of text messages that Judd also added. The boyfriend is explosive. He's stalking his girlfriend. He's angry with her, and he tells her, "I'm going to F up the Uber driver," Judd also said. Well, why don't they just add this all, put in one, for God's sakes? Anyway, a dash cam video was released by the sheriff's office, and Boak can be seen cutting off Westlake's car before stopping in the middle of the road and getting out and walking towards the vehicle. So Westlake was, of course, you know, what's going on? Did I say something? At which point Boak replied, "You know, I got a pistol." And he approached Westlake's car while holding his cell phone like a gun. That's just the dumbest thing to do, folks. In this day and age, you never know who is armed. "You want me to effing shoot you?" So then you can hear a gunshot, and Westlake and the passenger both separately exclaim, "Oh my God." So it wasn't just the driver, he had a passenger with him that he was protecting. In the 911 call, Westlake can be heard saying to Boak, "He ran me off the road, jumped out of his vehicle, and I couldn't get away." And Westlake shot Boak once in the chest, police stated. "He came towards me, shouting he's got a pistol, reached toward his waistband," Westlake says on the 911 call made public by the sheriff. "I fired one shot from my pistol. He dropped his cell phone. I kicked it away. I didn't realize it was a cell phone at first." Well, folks, you know, in the dark, you hold something like that and say you got a pistol? Darn right I do the same thing. So he continued on the call. He says, "I'm applying pressure to the wound. He's faintly breathing." So the sheriff's office said that Westlake has a license to carry a firearm. He works in security and had just finished the police academy. Bad guy to mess with. Neither Boak's girlfriend, the woman who got into the Uber car, nor Westlake knew each other. At the end of the day, the message is clear. Don't mess with the Uber driver. Leave the Uber driver alone because he might just be a certified police officer in training, Judd said. "It's a justifiable homicide all day long. You have the right to protect yourself," he said, adding, "This is a classic stand your ground case." Now, Floridians are allowed under the Stand Your Ground statute, which was first enacted in 2005 and backed by gun lobbyists, to defend themselves with deadly force if they believe they are in imminent danger or death. The person being threatened is not required to try and flee the scene. So that's the difference. Here in North Carolina, you've got to try and get away. If you don't have any other outs, then you can pull the trigger. But that's the difference. A spokesperson for Uber said in a statement, "We are saddened by this unfortunate incident and will continue to work with the police on their investigation." What are you going to do with it? Boak's family spoke to NBC News Wednesday from their home, where they said that they were distraught and that he was a loving father who was beloved by many but made a bad choice. You think? They also insisted the Uber driver had time to leave the scene instead of shooting. Once again, in Florida, you don't have to get away. If someone is threatening you with a gun or what you perceive to be a gun, and he says he has a gun, you have the right to shoot him. Now, his mother, Michelle, said, "He's not a bad person. He needed help." Well, that's kind of a moot point now, is it? His sister said, "He was portrayed in that press conference is not who he is as a person. Now my 2-year-old son is never going to know him," she added through tears. Well, you know, if he hadn't been a jerk and acted that way, it probably wouldn't happen. If he hadn't been at the bar consuming alcohol, that probably wouldn't happen. But he unfortunately had to learn the hard way that you don't treat people like that in this day and age, folks. You just don't do that. Now, it's a violation of Uber policy to carry a firearm in your car when you're working for Uber. Well, let me tell you what. I don't care what their policy is. If I drive for them, I'm carrying a gun too. It is my right. Uber cannot tell me what I can do in my car. I don't care if I'm on their clock or not. It is my personal vehicle. And they cannot dictate what I can do with my personal vehicle. It's that plain and simple. So the sheriff has declined to press charges. He said that Mr. Westlake operated under Florida law, under the standard ground statute, and he will not be charged. Well, hallelujah, brother, and amen. So while I'm on the topic of the Second Amendment, I came across a video on YouTube over the weekend that I watched, and it was about carrying on a loaded chamber. And this guy gave this entire video about why you should not carry on an empty chamber. Now keep in mind, this idiot carries a 1911. Yes, the infamous one that when you drop it, it goes off. Okay? And he's talking about how it takes you all this time to rack the action when you come out, and even if you got on half cock, you still got to cock the trigger, and just a whole bunch of nonsense. It was very clear that this guy has never had any kind of military or police training. Because even in the military, they tell you to carry it on an empty chamber. It's that dangerous. Now, there are exceptions to this rule. And that is, first of all, a revolver. Well, modern revolvers. Old-time revolvers, the firing pin was fixed. Very, very dangerous to carry on a loaded chamber. But modern-day pistols, like my Colt Anaconda, there's a plate that goes in there that protects it. As long as the hammer is cocked back, that plate is in place. So even if it were to fall and somehow slip without pulling the trigger, that plate would block the firing pin from striking the primer. That's one exception. The other exception is something like a Ruger P85 that is a double-action semi-auto. You chamber the round, put the safety on, the hammer falls up against the plate, and then at that point you can simply draw your weapon and pull the trigger just like a revolver. Those are the only two exceptions to the rule. And that's why those are the only two things that I carry chambered like that. I carry six shots in my .44 because that is my duty weapon when I'm out in the woods. It's got six shots in it. And around town, I use a Ruger P85 that has a high-capacity magazine in it. It is bolted to the console of my car. I've got a Ruger holster for it, a Blackhawk holster, I'm sorry, that is screwed into the side of the console so it's locked in place in case the car ever gets hit or something. It won't fall out and land on me. And it is on a chambered round on double action. Never, ever carry something that does not have that safety feature built into it on a loaded chamber. Good God, folks. Anyway, I am out of time. Let me drop off of here. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.